You are listening to Activate Evolution, a gateway to infinite possibilities with Jules Arness. Is your soul craving and longing to remember your path and your mission? Are you ready to activate your evolution? Connect to your heart, take a deep breath, and start your journey to infinite possibilities. Blessing Soul Family, this is Jules, and this is Activate Evolution. We are tapping into the infinite possibilities and stepping into the highest human potential. I am super excited about our guest today. She has such a huge place in my heart. We have Arielle Taylor, and she is, oh my goodness, she is truly a sister. And we have those people in our lives that we feel an instant connection. And Arielle is one of those people. So welcome to the show, Arielle. And why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, hey, Jules, I just wanted to say first off that we love you and have been supporting your work as well. And the work that you're doing for the star seeds and the light on the planet. Many, many thanks to you for that. And myself, I have been working with star seeds for about 13 years. And the thing about star seeds is that there are bloodlines. If you have star markings, probably your friends will have them, and certainly your children, because children choose their parents. They choose the bloodline. And so when you have a star seed bloodline, it's very, very likely that your children are also star seeds. And there are some special care that you need to understand in raising them to continue that work, even though they're too young right now to know anything about that. But this is my focus right now, is the young children, the young teens, and helping them to stay on their own path and not be distracted by all the stuff that there is in the world on the internet and, you know, games and social media and all of that is pulling a lot of these kids off the path. So this is my basic motivation for writing this book. And it's my first book, and I'm just really, really pleased with it. It just came to me like, you need to do something to help these children to reconnect with Mother Nature. Mm. So over the course of the years, I have seen many times, I've pulled up on my way home, I'm pulled up behind a school bus, and I watched the children coming off the school bus. And the minute they're off the bus, their heads are just bent over staring at their phones. And every place I go, I see children that are completely oblivious to the world around them. And they're just riveted to these screens. And I know it's a big problem for parents. You know, my brother has young kids, and, you know, getting them off the screens has been a real challenge. So I decided I wanted to do something to help. So another reason why this is so important, I have a wonderful chiropractor, and in his office, he has a picture on the wall of a profile of the spine after years of having your head bent forward. Like when you're looking at a phone, you're looking at a laptop, you're looking down, it makes your spine kind of hunch over. And then you get, you know, I'm sure you've seen people that have that, you know, a big hump on their back. And that comes from years of having your head forward. It's like having 30 pounds of traction on your spine. And I was at the dog park a few weeks ago, or actually it was longer ago than that. But there was a young teen there with his dog. And the whole time he was there, I mean, the dog was running around and he's just staring at his phone instead of interacting with his dog. And he already had that hunched over spine. And I thought, oh my Lord, something has to be done, because what are we going to have a whole population of hunchbacks in 20 years? And I just don't want to see children having to deal with all the health problems that comes from really poor posture. So, and another thing that is very concerning for me is that the radiation that comes from cell phones is, I mean, it's bad for everybody, but it's worse for starseeds and starseed kids. They're more vulnerable. And children, until they are 16, their skulls are not fully developed. So they just have a really thin skull. And that provides far less protection than an adult would have to this EMF or EMR, electromagnetic frequency or electromagnetic radiation. So I'll just call it radiation. That's what it is. So it's very concerning, because after radiation accumulates over time, it's just a drop in the bucket and another drop. And then after 10, 15 years, your DNA is twisted. It's mutated. It gets distorted. And I'm worried for these children that have been on a cell phone since, you know, they were old enough to be given a cell phone, and kids are getting them younger and younger. And by the time they're in college and out of college and starting their adult life, I am so concerned for them that they might start having problems from this years of exposure to this radiation. Now, there is something you can do, which I do want to mention. If you haven't heard about it, there is a mineral called elite shungite. Now, shungite has different levels of quality, and the elite, or sometimes called noble, is the highest quality. It's like high octane. And you can get a pendant for your child and just have them wear that to give them some protection, and also to, you know, to turn off the Wi-Fi at least at night, so that your children aren't being bathed 24 hours a day in this. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a lot of starseed parents that are a little more strict and limiting with their children's exposure. But I thought there's got to be a way to make the kids want to do something else. So I have had so much help and guidance from Mother Nature, from the animals of Mother Nature and the insects. And I have written this book to help engage children and motivate them to go outside and look for an animal message instead of looking for a text message. So in my own life, I have had such help. Can I tell you a few quick stories about how what life led me to doing this?
I would love that. But before, I just want to mention the name of the book here. It's Magical Messages from the Animal Kingdom. And I love how you just said, go outside and look for the messages from the animals instead of, you know, getting on for a text or a Snapchat or whatever it is that they're tapped into. Is all of those energetic messages are right there. And that's such a magical way. I love magical because it is magical when we look for those messages. But please, yes, tell us some stories.
Well, I have been aware of the animal messages for decades. And when I very first started, you know, becoming familiar with the animal medicines, some people call them animal spirits, animal totems. It's all the same thing. Animals have wisdom, and they have natural gifts and abilities. So many, many years ago, right before I was about to experience a huge change, advancement in my life, I didn't know it at the time, but something really big was about to happen that would better my life. And I pulled into this shopping center, just going to the store, and I noticed the butterfly landed right on my hood. And it's like, yeah, I noticed it, but I didn't really get it until I continued to drive around looking for a parking spot, and that butterfly would not leave. And I started forgetting about the parking spot. And it's like, what is this? And I'm driving, I sped up a little bit, and she would not leave my hood. She clung on until I got it. And it was, you know, butterfly medicine is about metamorphosis, change, transformation. And she was letting me know that big changes were coming and they were going to be really good for me and I should embrace them, you know, and go forward, you know, boldly. So that was message number one. And then years later, I had gone camping in a forest that I hadn't explored yet. And on the first morning, I walked out and looking around, you know, 360 degrees and wondering, which direction should I go? I wanted to have experienced some, you know, magical wonder of the forest. And I just happened to look over to my right, and here's a tree. And there were literally dozens and dozens of blue dragonflies. And every single one of them was perfectly still and pointing in the same direction. And I was a little stunned at first. Like, how could this be happening? But I mean, there could have been 100 dragonflies. They were all the same kind. They were all blue and they were all motionless, facing in this one direction. So of course, that's the direction I took off in exploring the forest. And I came upon this little grove that had an underground spring, a tree with a face, and these really tiny blue flowers that were just everywhere, like a little carpet. And I just sat there, and the energy of that spot was so wonderful. And I have the butterflies to thank for that. And I knew that dragonflies are the gatekeepers to other realms and other dimensions. And that's what I wanted to experience. And they showed up for me. Now, the third and final story is really probably the most shocking to me, because for years I had been protecting proprietary information because it was very potent, and I never talked about it because I didn't want it to be misused or even stolen. So we were, you know, keeping it under wraps. And at that time, I was living actually in the same place I'm living now. And, you know, I take the same route to get home. When I go out and do my stuff, I always take the same road to get back home. And once in a great while, I would see an opossum kind of on the side of the road, but it was not all that common. And within the space of 2 weeks, I saw 26 dead opossums on this same little stretch of road. And I mean, I thought, well, and then I saw, you know, I saw the second one, then I saw the third one, I started counting, and there were 26 in 2 weeks. And I, you know, since then, I hardly ever see them. And before then, I hardly ever see them. And the thing about possum medicine is about playing dead. It's cloaking. It's, you know, keep your mouth shut. Wait for your timing. And that's their defense. That's their magic. But because the possums were really dead, the meaning was the opposite. It's time to go public. It's time to release the information. So I went forward with confidence because I knew this was unmistakable. You know, one or two dead possums, you might be able to dismiss it. But 26. And the thing is that part of the formula that I had been protecting concerned the number 26. So that was, you know, my three of, anyway, the most remarkable stories where the animals have helped me. I mean, and even now, today, you know, yesterday, I saw an ant. I was like, this time of year? And I've been really anxious about something. And the ant was telling me, be patient, because that's the ant message. Be patient. Do the work and be patient. So I'm always, anytime I'm out of the house, I'm always watching to see what animals happen to come into my field of view. And this is what I wanted to impart to parents and children. So I wrote the Magical Messages from the Animal Kingdom subtitle, How to Help Your Children Reconnect with Mother Nature by Understanding the Wisdom of the Native American Animals Philosophies. And this, I drew heavily on my understanding of Native American philosophies. So, do you have any question before I go on?
Oh my gosh, can you tell? I'm just like, I'm zoned in and I feel like I'm the little kid at story time.
Yeah. Well, I have written this from a child's point of view. And, you know, some of the animals they will see when they go out and about, you know, backyard kind of things. But it also works if you had the book and you just opened it up to a random page, you would get a message from that particular animal. Or if you happen to just, you know, flip on the television and an animal just happened to be there at that moment on that channel, that's another message. They can also come in dreams. So ultimately, my desire is that the parents will become familiar with the animal messages and help their children to understand this as well. And I know that, you know, people are really busy these days, you know, moms, you know, taking kids here and there, and it's like one more thing to learn. But you could just keep a copy of the book in the car. And as you're taking them to their activities, have them spot an animal and look it up in the book. And as they become more familiar, they'll want to know even more. Or you could take a picnic and go out, you know, into the woods and take the kids and have each, you know, depending on how many kids you've got, have them check and look for animals. And then read the messages. And as they hopefully would be leaving the school bus, now they would be looking for the animal messages instead of being glued to the phones.
And that's the beauty of interacting with spirits, you know, or interacting with an intelligence beyond ourselves. And it's so inviting just listening to your stories and what you've experienced. And that's there for all of us if we just take the time to really tap in. And once we're focused on it, that's when all the magic unravels. So tell us, Ariel, just a little bit about how the book is laid out. So you were saying you can just, I love that you can just open it up to a page and get something from that moment. What age group is the book geared towards?
Well, I'm saying 6 to 12.
Okay.
But truly, you know, teenagers, even adults, because the messages are the same regardless of their age. You know, and I don't know that a 3 or a 4 year old would really understand as well as, you know, 6 and up, but certainly there are some, you know, introductions that you could make even when the children are that young, because I know that parents are constantly competing with screens for their children's attention. And that, you know, when they get to a certain age and they start becoming more socially motivated, I'm sure that it feels for some people like you're losing the closeness that you had when they were really little. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is something that you can use to bond with the children. And I thought maybe what we could do, if you would like to just kind of mention an animal, and I'll, you know, I mean, another thing about the book is that the descriptions for each animal are short, but it's enough to make the point.
So, when you asked me that question, I was looking out my window at a hawk that's flying in the field behind my house. So let's go with a hawk.
Okay, let me get to that page.
Do you do domestic animals too, or are they mostly wild animals?
Oh, there's dogs, cats, turtles, lizards. Let's say H-I-J. I put them in alphabetical order. So here is hawk. Hawk is the messenger. He wants you to observe your surroundings and watch for clues. And this is my one paragraph about that. Hawk has always been a messenger because flying high in the sky gives a view that we don't have here on the ground. Have you heard someone say that they would watch something like a hawk? The vision of hawk is far more powerful than ours, and he can see things that we might not. If you see or hear hawk, he's trying to tell you to look for clues, or that someone is coming to visit unexpectedly, or there is something that you need to see. It is then that you should pay close attention to your surroundings and look at every detail, because there is something important waiting for you. If you are walking in the woods and you see hawk, or if you hear his loud voice, be sure to look around carefully. Maybe there's a treasure on the ground, like a beautiful stone, or maybe there's a big patch of mud that you might be about to step into, and he's telling you, be aware. So the message of hawk always tells you to pay attention, because clues and answers are nearby.
I love that. It's like a scavenger hunt. So I'd love to also know what a cat is, because I have my daughter, I'm babysitting my daughter's cat right now, and she's sleeping on my leg, right on my legs. So sweet.
Yeah. Okay. Cat. Independence, observation, detached. Those are the key words for cat. Cats have been pets and companions for humans for a very long time, but as many have said, you don't own the cat. The cat owns you. Cats are very independent and have self-reliance. If you leave them home alone with food, water, and a litter box, they can get along just fine. Cats have been considered mystical animals because they love to watch things, even if you can't see what they're seeing. It seems at times that they don't care, like when you call them, and they just look at you and stay where they are. Cats teach us to be independent, yet always watching. The cats also have the ability to be playful and to curl up in your lap, purring all the time. So the message from cat is about knowing when you shouldn't get involved, or to go ahead and jump into the game because you are watching and paying attention. Cat always lands on her feet, because she was mindful of what was happening. And sometimes that means knowing what things are really not that important in the big picture.
That just gave me an overall feeling of expansion and freedom.
Now, well, you know, the detachment that cats have really teach us to be independent. You can watch something and not get entangled. Mm-hmm. But they also, you know, can be very affectionate. So there's a time to just observe from a distance, and there's a time to jump in. And the message of cat helps you to learn the difference between the two.
This is so much fun. So is this how the book is mostly laid out? Is the messages for each yes. animal.
Mm. Yes, there's a preface where I explain the motivation and the reasons that for doing this. And then there's a children's introduction, which is a conversation between a squirrel and an owl. So the squirrel named Bushy and the owl named Athena were sitting in a tree one day watching, because they love to watch the children coming home from school. And they watch them get off the bus, and they're hoping that the children look up and notice them. Aww. But the children never do. And Bushy, who was a very young squirrel, he was asking Athena, the wise old owl, says, have the children forgotten us? Why are they always looking down at those things in their hands? And Athena said, yes, some children have forgotten us, but not all the children. There are, you know, children of the native tribes, countries around the world, they haven't forgotten the animals, but a lot of children have. So the conversation between Bushy and Athena is what they can do to help the children remember how much they're loved. So, and then there's 51 animals and 51 descriptions. And I'd like to read you the coyote, because I've had a few people with feedback how much they like this. Because, I mean, for adults, I mean, coyote represents the trickster. Mm-hmm. And it's not always, you know, a pleasant situation. But I kept the book really on the positive side. So trickster, in this instance, it helps you to see your own folly.
Mm.
So how many times have you heard adults say, now let that be a lesson to you? It's usually when you did something that didn't turn out so well. Maybe you were told to put your shoes on before you go outside, but you went out without them. Or maybe they said to take the umbrella and you didn't. When you went out without your shoes, you didn't notice the dog poo and you stepped right in it in your bare feet. Or it started raining and you got soaked. So these things make us feel foolish right away. And that's the message of coyote, as we made choices that quickly show us that we made a big mistake. And this is when it's important to be able to laugh at ourselves, but also learn the lessons so we don't have to feel silly or sorry or sad. You may find the coyote's lesson without actually seeing him as you live through the embarrassment of knowing you were fooled. You laugh at yourself and then just be sure you don't do that again.
So sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I have so many, had so many encounters with all different kinds of animals, and it always means something to me because I've, you know, memorized and become familiar with this. And it doesn't take all that long. And like I said, you can just keep this book in your car. And as you're driving your kids around, just have them look out the window. You know, put the phone down, look out the window, connect with the animals. And I don't know if you can see the picture, the cover of the book. It's a picture of a little girl with her arm around a fawn's neck. Beautiful, gentle little fawn. And of course, the deer medicine is about gentility. And this, it's just so sweet with a little girl connecting and bonding with this precious little fawn.
So, you know, what's so funny is I can see the picture and I see the fawn now, but when I first looked at it, I thought it was a giraffe. I literally saw a giraffe. I was like, oh, that's so cool. And the giraffe is right at her height.
Yeah, it would have to be like a pygmy.
A mini giraffe.
A pygmy giraffe. But yeah, it's a fawn. I had to kind of crop the picture to put it for what you're looking at, because it was a limited size. But yeah, it's just I'm really, really pleased with this. I only launched it. It's less than a week old. So I've got it on Amazon. It's in hardback, paperback, and ebook. And I didn't do an audio book because you need the pictures.
Mm-hmm. So definitely check that out. And so we'll put the link to Amazon in the show notes there. So if anyone's listening and driving, just know that you can go to the episode and the link for that will be right there.
And you know, the easiest thing to do and the fastest way to get there, if you just log into Amazon and just type, you know, go to the book section and just type Ariel Taylor. Mm. And Ariel is spelled A-R-I-E-L-L-E, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. If you just put that in the search bar, you'll get right to it.
Oh, beautiful. Perfect. So everyone can easily remember that, and we'll have your name in the show notes as well. Oh, it's just so beautiful. I want to go back to one of the things that you were saying, because it keeps coming back to me, and having the image of these kids on their phones and what it's doing to the spine and how that's literally, you know, curving the one part of our body that's the channel to spirit, to our mm-hmm. higher guidance, that playfulness, being able to tap into the magic of life. And when it's being bent over like that, that it's very much cutting off our life force energy. And then of course, adding the EMFs and that sort of thing along with it is so many of the kids that are being born right now. And I mean, gosh, I could say that even about my daughters that are in their 20s are really here to do some amazing work. And we just want to set them up for success. And having that channel connected to spirit is a huge part of feeling tapped in to a frequency that will guide them through life outside of collective.
You know, and another thing, that cell phone radiation will deplete your body's supply of silica. And silica is so important for starseeds. Starseeds were designed by galactic councils to require more silica than other people. It helps you to stay connected to your higher sources, your celestial beings. And without the silica, you feel disconnected, isolated, even abandoned. And that's what the cell phone radiation is doing. It's sucking the silica right out of them. And, you know, food sources are pretty weak because of the condition of our soil. But, you know, strawberries, oatmeal, watermelon, those are rich in silica. But, I mean, how much of that can you eat? So, I mean, taking a silica supplement and reducing the exposure to cell phones will help, especially the starseed kids, because let's face it, they are the hope of the future. Mm-hmm. And we can't send them into the future with a disability, because we've been misled about the dangers of cell phone exposure.
So doing what we can and just really tapping them back into the magic of life. That's so much what it is to be a kid. You know, my girls were young, I homeschooled them and did, I went through Rudolf Steiner's teaching where they don't actually start to read until about age 7. And it's all about no TV, no cell phones. And it's everything is about developing the right side of the brain, the imagination and nature and connecting with things and getting down on, you know, what does it feel like to live your life when you're standing up? And now let's crawl around on the ground and what's life down from down here and having different perspectives and that sort of thing. And it's such a beautiful gift to give a child, is to allow them to step into the right side of their brain and really master what it's like to exist in the imagination, and then slowly start to bring in the intellect once the brain is ready to move into that. And, you know, they say it's around 7, but there are a lot of kids, especially these starseed kids, that it's not till age 8 to 12. It can be at a much later age before they're really ready to tap into that left side of the brain. And just being, you know, mindful of that is such a gift to our children.
Well, you know, parents have to be very responsible and aware, because if no one told you, then how would you know that, you know, these habits can be very detrimental and harmful to children. So, yeah, and at least until they're 16, they should have extremely limited usage of a cell phone. You know, I mean, going back to the example in my chiropractor's office, very often mothers will come in and bring their kids and the whole family gets adjusted. But while they're waiting their turn, this like 4-year-old child is sitting on the floor in the corner waiting with this stuff. And his mother gave him the cell phone to play with to keep him busy. Mm. And to me, that's a radioactive pacifier. And who would give that to their child? So, yeah, it's insidious, and we have to be aware, take a stand, and so we can all make a difference.
And that awareness piece, I think, is really key, because we only know what we know. And so you coming out with this book and speaking out about, you know, beware of these things, so that you can at least create a conscious choice around something that maybe you were unconscious of before. And, you know, once we're conscious that there's actually a choice there is when we truly step into our power and become the creation. And within that creation, we're expanding that to our children. And it's, like I said, it's, there's no better gift than to be in awareness of how we're raising our kids and making those conscious choices for the best for them in their personal evolution, because until they can do that on their own, it is a responsibility. And it's not so much about shaming ourselves for doing something that maybe we didn't know before, but once we know, welcoming that, oh, there is another way. And what does that look like? And even as a parent, start to self-discover in those frequencies of what the animal messages are, or opening ourselves more up to the guidance of our spirit of how, what kind of parent do I want to be, and allowing that energy to start coming into our lives, because then it becomes a magical connection with your child in a way that maybe wasn't there before. Because gosh, I can remember holding my daughter for the first time, and I knew it was the first time I actually felt true love. And it was such a powerful experience. And from that day forward, I decided to take that connection and that love into every choice that I made within our relationship. And it was a magical journey being a mother. It was the most fascinating thing of my life. And now, of course, they're older and very much on their own. And it has just been such a wild ride. And because I kept it in the magic always, and I always kept my heart open to it. And this is just another way that we can keep our hearts open and show our children how, but through example, how do we live our lives? So start playing with the animals and to have that be something that we do with our children. I mean, how fun is that?
Oh, and I mean, the end result is having your child go out and make the world better, to do something that benefits humanity. What greater praise could you have as a parent than to have a child that can go out and do that, because you built the foundation responsibly, lovingly, and with conscious awareness?
Absolutely. And just, you know, every parent wants their child to be happy. And when a child is connected in and aware and conscious themselves, because they were, you know, had that mirror or reflection when growing up, and were given, okay, do I, you know, because there's going to be an age where it's going to be a choice to listen to the guidance and play with the animal spirits or get on my phone. And even then, when they are creating a choice with themselves and being able to see the outcome of their choices, it gives them a confidence and a way of knowing themselves that they would have never had hadn't they had that choice to begin with. So even at a young age of, let's say, 6, of giving them the choice, but having them feel the difference. What does it feel like to be in imagination and play with the animals? And then what do you feel like right after you play with the phone for 30 minutes? Now, which one do you choose? And they can start to choose their heart and what actually feels better to them, especially when they're that young and super sensitive and tapped in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing, Ariel. What you're doing is amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it just... It's something that disturbs me deeply for the future of the planet and the future of these kids. So I decided to try and do something to make it better.
Well, it's you know, that's what we can do. We can do our part. And you know, I'm going to get one for my kids. Both of my girls are, one is going to be starting to teach next year. She'll graduate in May, and she's going to be early child education teacher. And then my other daughter is also going into family development, and this book will just be so, and both of them also have had some Native American background where we used to do this kind of stuff. We played with the animals and read about the animals and what their messages are. And anytime they see an animal that, you know, that kind of speaks to them. It's not every single animal they see, but, you know, like with your stories, if there's one that shows up with a message, the first thing they do is call me and ask me, "Mom, what does this mean?"
Well, see, that promotes your connection, even though they're, you know, starting their own lives. But that's wonderful, because, I mean, your one daughter is going to be working with young children, so she can pass on what you gave to her.
Exactly. So fun. Well, Ariel, is there any last message that you would like to share before we bring this to an end?
Well, I think we covered it all pretty well. I'll just reiterate, if you go to Amazon and just type Ariel Taylor in the book section, in the search bar, it'll come right up, so you don't have to dig through. It's climbing, but it's not coming up on the first page yet. So just type my name in the search bar and you'll get right to it.
And it's the magical message from the messages from the animal kingdom. It's just beautiful. And it has a little girl that has her arm around a fawn. Ariel, thank you for spending this time with us and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you so much, Jules. I love the work that you do. And it's a sisterhood. So thank you.
It definitely is a sisterhood. And thank you for everyone for tapping in and listening and taking this journey with Ariel and I. And we are thinking of you. We're holding you in our hearts and sending you lots of rainbow love. And until we meet again, go and live to your highest potential. Tap into those possibilities and see the magic that life has for you in this very moment. So much love. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Are you ready to take the next step into infinite possibilities? We invite you to discover more ways to play at activateevolution.com.